Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. That is my signature story where I talk about how I survived a 19-year marriage of domestic violence and was able to recreate, reposition my life to do what I'm doing right now. My second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future, simply means just what it is. You have to forgive where you've been in order to free where you must go, not have to go, but where you must go. And then Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. Those of you that have young adults that are going through situations that are dealing with peer pressure and sexual identities and bullying, I recommend that you buy this book. I have two of my children that wrote chapters in it talking about how it was being raised in a home of domestic violence, but then they repositioned their lives for greatness and went on to get their education and are living their life on purpose. And then my new book, Unlimited Possibilities. This book will be available on Amazon, and it is going to be available on the website from thesoulofawoman.com, but you'll be able to download it through Amazon on your Kindle by tomorrow, Friday the latest. You'll be able to purchase your book from Amazon, Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. I have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am an entrepreneur and an author as well as a motivational speaker. My first book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, is available at barnesandnoble.com, and you can also go to my website, shirleymcarter.com. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Shirley. You know, it's always great to hear your voice on the other end of the line. And also, we'll be connecting next week because Les Brown will be coming to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we'll be doing a training workshop. So I look forward to seeing you there in that workshop with Mr. Les Brown.
I often have
different guests on the show to talk about who they're, you know, Hot Topics from the Soul deals with relationships, finances, personal testimonies of individuals that have succeeded and gone to the next level, gone through adversities in their life, but they've come out on top. And I always like to hear on the other end, because one of the things about Hot Topics from the Soul is that we want to be a platform, a connection, a lifeline to the community. Everybody goes through situations. Everybody goes through circumstances. We all are fighting to get somewhere. Even if we're not sure of where that is, we are walking and progressing, trying to get there. Well, I have a young lady that has joined us tonight. Her name is Mary Robinson, and she has written a book, From Disgrace to Grace, Honoring the Word of God. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am, Valerie. It is a good, I'm honored to be here tonight, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, and I salute you on writing this book. I got it from you at an event that we were at where we exchanged books, and I was intrigued by the cover and intrigued by you as a person, and I began flipping through the pages, and I was like, it's amazing how we go through situations and circumstances in our life, and then we feel that we could just move on and forget it, but then there's always reminders of where we've been. But the good part of it is that there's grace in the disgrace.
Yes, there is.
Tell us about how you came about writing this book, From Disgrace to Grace.
Okay, Valerie, it all started with me becoming a born-again Christian about 4 years ago. And I was living my book is actually based on fornication and adultery. And I was living an adulterous lifestyle. I was with a married man for 10 years right before I got saved. and I was making plans to move to Georgia after I retired from my job. And I said once I get up there, I was going to join a church because I just felt like something was missing in my life, and I needed to get God back in my life. So after I got saved, God put it on my heart to tell my testimony because I have so many friends that live that lifestyle. So he was like, you need to write a book. And I'd never written anything in my whole life. My mom used to write, but I never thought about doing it. And I was like, how do I start this? So I just started writing, you know, and just explaining everything on my heart. I started putting it down, you know, and I give it all the glory to God because he's the reason that this book came about. He just put it in my heart to spill out, you know, my thoughts, and I did. And it amazed me even after I finished it. I was like, wow, did I do that? And I just say the Holy Spirit works within you, and he will pull things out of you that you don't even know you have.
I'm telling you, one of the poets I read from says that grace is the beauty of form under the influence of freedom. Grace gives you the freedom, and that's what you did. You took it upon yourself to free yourself. When I wrote From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, one of the reasons I wrote the book in the beginning, I wrote it as though I was journaling, you know, kind of purging my soul, purging my spirit from where I had been so that I could free where I had to go. And I just began writing and writing, and it just was so amazing that so much time has passed. You said you were in a 10-year relationship. Well, you know, I can imagine that when you looked up and saw 10 years, it didn't seem like it was 10 years to you.
Oh, no, it went so fast, you know, and it was like, God, I was in this for 10 years. And being in that relationship, I tolerated a lot of things. I only just focused on the good times, but there were some bad times in that relationship because when you're dating a married man, there are a lot of no's in that relationship, things that you want to do and you can't do. So it didn't all, it didn't all come into focus after I started writing the book, and I was like, wow, I really went through this, and it's not a good thing, you know. And once God freed me from that, I mean, it freed my whole mind, body, and soul, and I was at peace. And he showed me that, you know, I deserve to have my own man and someone that loves me and want to marry me. So I'm at that point now, you know. I haven't been with anyone in about 5 years, and it really doesn't bother me because God got me. He got me, and I'm right there, you know. I'm waiting on him to show me which way to go.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're walking in faith because Dr. Martin Luther King said faith is living, daring confidence in God's grace. So, you know, you having that faith to believe and know that you're entitled to more. See, that's one of the things that we fail to realize and understand as women. We just settle. We fall into this this ambiance of being caught up. And a lot of times men cheat because they love the thrill of the other excitement. Women cheat because sometimes they feel that that's all there is. And I've heard so many different women say, part of man is better than no man. Were you at that point where you felt that same way?
Well, not really. I think mine mostly came from I didn't want to be lonely, you know what I'm saying? And you always want to feel like you're doing something. And I think a lot of us settle for that because we don't want to be lonely. Or we settle it for other reasons like sex and money and all these other attributes that we just allow in our lives to keep from being lonely. And you'll just settle for any man just to take that loneliness away, you know. And sometimes it don't have to be a married man. It could be an abusive man, or it could be a man that, you know, don't have anything to offer you, but you just want that companionship, so you settle for it. I had a young man today ask me, why do women settle so quickly? And I was saying, a lot of times it's, they need to find themselves, you know. They don't know who they really are, so they allow other things into their lives, you know, which takes a distraction away from who they really are, who they want, really want, or who they want, really want to be. so, you know, once I did that, because I was always an independent woman, I handled my own, I carried my own, and I really didn't think I needed a man for any of that, just for companionship, and so that's why I settled that way. But then God showed me that, you know, I deserve better.
Mm-hmm. You know, we attend the same church, and a lot of times our pastor, Bishop Henry Fernandez, always refers, when he's comical, he's good at relationships and written several books regarding singleness and relationships, and he always has to be comical when it comes to the husband and wife. And every time he cracks a joke, I say to myself, honey, I am so glad that I don't have to worry about dealing with, you know, baggage. Sometimes
right, I hear
baggage, you know. Shirley, in your book, and I'm sure that you can identify with some of this, that, you know, you can be alone but not lonely.
That is so true. That is so true. And, you know, Mary, I commend you for the steps that you've taken in learning to be alone. And, you know, because I tell people a lot, even in my book, I talk about relationships and getting to know yourself. You need to know who you are and love yourself, forgive yourself, in order to be in a healthy relationship. And that takes time. And I commend you for taking those steps to get to know who you are, because we find ourselves in toxic relationships, and before we know it, we've lost our own identity because we're so wrapped up in that relationship. And we get to a point and go, how did I get here? What happened?
Right, right. The time goes so fast, you know. And realize it. And I love being alone now. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know, I don't really feel like I'm alone because I'm focused on God and he's guiding my steps. And I just feel like I have a full life now. I don't have any worries or, you know, anything that's bothering me, and I'm worried about it, you know, and not even a man is like the last thing on my mind, right? Like, because I'm looking for the one that I'm supposed to have, and until that comes along, I guess I'll be standing alone with God.
Well, Mary, for those that are listening to you and maybe in this type of relationship right now where they're dating someone that's not their own because they're sharing, what would you say to them? What recommendations would you offer to them as it relates to that?
I would just say, you know, don't settle for less. You deserve better. God created you to have a man that really loves and wants to be with you. Not only that, marry you. Because if he doesn't get to, you know, you're in this relationship and this man, it's, he don't really want you. If you're with somebody maybe two to five years and they haven't shown any type of, you know, want for you, I mean, you just need to, you know, reevaluate that and look for somebody that cares about you, because the world has turned everything around when it comes to that fornication and adultery thing. It's so prevalent today to people accept it, you know, and it's definitely wrong. It's not the way God created it to be. He wanted us to live our lifestyles in a godly manner. And, you know, we got this sex before marriage and teenage pregnancy and all this different stuff happening before you even get to the altar. You know, the altar, when you go to the altar, you're supposed to be untouched, unblemished, you know, but it doesn't happen that way today. And the world has turned that all around. Satan has deceived us into thinking it's supposed to be this way, and it's not, because even I accepted it because the world was doing it. And sometimes we look at the world and we just see what they're doing and we feel like it's all right, but it's not. You have to use your own intuition. And you have to use your free will to know that what's wrong and what's right. And ladies, you deserve better. God created it. You have your own man, someone that loves you. And, you know, when you're in those type of relationships, it takes away your dignity, your respect, and all that for yourself. And, you know, you need to just know that you deserve to have a better life.
Well, a lot of times when you're caught up in a situation, one of the things I always say is you can't see the picture when you're in a frame. When you're sitting in the midst of that situation, when you're in the midst of the chaos, it's not chaotic to you because of the fact that you get caught up in the situation and the feeling and the circumstances saying, oh, he really loves me because he's making this sacrifice. He's not with his wife tonight. He's with me. He didn't take his wife to the movies. He took me. He didn't take his wife to dinner. He took me. He didn't buy his wife this. He bought me this. So you take that as a hand up instead of it being simply what it is, a hand out. You know, just giving you a temporary
that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I mean,
and we
those things are all minor to what you really deserve. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think he don't have to do all that with his wife because she got him 24/7, and you got him a couple of hours. He's not going to wake up with you in the morning. He's going to wake up with her. So you have to look at the things. And then when it comes to those days that you really want to be with someone, like on those holidays, you never get that because they're with their family or with their wife. And you just deserve better, that's all. You need someone that you can spend quality time with, too, all the time. You know, someone that really cares and wants to be with you.
Absolutely. But oftentimes that's not what happens. You just get caught up in your emotions because women are emotional beings, so you get caught up in the situation or the element of the moment of I got him. And then a lot of times what women do is they give their bodies, thinking if they give all of themselves, that that man will be wanting to stay with them, be wanting to be the man. But, you know, you have women that cheat, too.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend that is no longer one of my friends. When I found out that, you know, that's what she did, she was married, has a very nice husband, but she always cheated, and she cheated with married men. She was married, and she cheated with married men. I'm like, why would you do that? Why are you doing this? She was like, first she said, because I can have my fun, and I can still go back home. He know I'm not leaving my husband. I know he's not leaving my wife, but it's something different. And I, you know, severed the friendship because I said, okay, if you're doing this like this, what is to say that you won't do it to me? And
yep.
I took offense to it, and I severed the relationship because, you know, she thought, okay, we were good friends, and she thought I was cool, so she felt it was all right to share that with me. Well, no, it was not, because I was married. I was in a marriage where my husband cheated. Not only was he an abuser, but he was a cheater too.
Right. It goes both ways. I mean, and sometimes we as women, we give in to certain situations just to have a keep a man, you know. Because I've been there and I know it. And it happens out of fear of being lonely or fulfill our immediate lustful desires. We just want what we want. Some women are with men because they take care of them with money or they give them whatever they want, you know. But that's not a reason. That's not a man that loves you. He's just taking care of your immediate needs right then, you know. And what happens when all that's gone, you know what I'm saying? So you deserve to have someone that's, you know, that really wants to be with you and love you.
And see, that's the key thing, knowing that you deserve more, and you should really want more from yourself. So it comes to knowing the value of who you are and what it is that you bring to the table. If you don't feel that you're worth anything, then you're subject to do anything.
Right, that's true.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's why it's so easy to fall into that fold and settle because of the not knowing whose you are.
Right, and that's what I said in my book. Now I know who I am and whose I am, you know, and that's God. And I was so glad that he came into my life. I can never stop thanking him enough for saving my soul because I always thought I was a good person. I treat people real good. And, you know, I go through life treating people the way I wanted to be treated. And I thought that alone would get me to heaven, you know. And after I became born again and became a Christian and learned God's word, I saw that what I was doing was wrong. And it may bring destruction to my life if I didn't change it. So I stepped out of that, and I was like, God, take me and lead me and guide me the right way, because I know there's something better for me. I know you got better plans for me than this, you know. And, I mean, I lived that lifestyle, and I can't truly say I was totally happy in it, you know, because it wasn't.
Okay. And so is that where you talk about the covenant and marriage in one of the chapters in your book?
Oh, yeah, covenant and marriage. I mean, because we all got a, we've displaced marriage like it's some bad thing or something that we just do to do it. But it's a serious thing. And if I knew what I knew about marriages now, I'd probably still be with my first husband. But it's like we marry and we think we can just jump out of it for any reasons, you know, because we have an argument or somebody's cheating on somebody. But marriage is a commitment you vow before God. And you vow to be with your partner till death do you part. And there's no way out but death, you know. So it's like, but today you look at marriage and people think it's a bad thing when you mention it, oh, marriage, oh, I ain't never doing that again. But it's not the marriage, it's the people within the marriage. And it's the people within the marriage that are disobeying the word of God. They're not doing the things that God said you should do to keep your marriage successful. So when you step out of that, you know, then it caused destruction to your life and your marriage start failing and destroying. You start destroying each other. You not only tear apart the husband and the wife, you tear apart the children. Everything becomes disrupted. And marriage is such a beautiful thing if you have the love that God betrays. See, no man has that love. It's all about love. It's not money, status, sex, or any of that stuff. It's love. And if you got the love that God betrays, that will hold that marriage together to death do you part. And I would love to just experience that kind of marriage once again. You know, I just would love to experience that because now I know, you know, and it takes two people. It takes the both of you to commit to want to do the right thing in a marriage. If you do that, there's no way it can fail. If you have that love and that bond that you should have, it will be successful the way God created it to be.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the process of forgiving yourself for allowing it to happen, allowing it to be what it was.
You mean in the adultery part?
Right, that, you know, the transitioning, because after, you know, you came into the knowledge and of you accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then trying to move on with your life, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward into those things. Did you have a problem like forgiving yourself? Because a lot of people can't forgive the time that they've spent, that they've invested, rather it was in something good or bad. You lost time. How was it with the process of shifting gears, trying to reclaim your life to be who you are now?
Well, it was sort of a struggle in the beginning because after I became saved, it was like I thought I wasted my life. I just gave it away because now here I am, a 60-year-old woman, and I got saved when I was about 57. And once again, you know, I had been born again years ago, got out of debt and came back, and it was hard because the man that I was seeing at that time, I really loved that man. I was in love with him. And I just asked God to help me with it. I say, God, this is not going to be easy for me, so I need you to help me to get through this, you know. And he just gave me the willpower, you know, just with me focusing on him. I had to stay in the Word. That's what kept the focus for me. I mean, I was in church every Sunday, and I don't do God just on Sunday. I do him 7 days a week because I need that. I have to do him 7 days a week, keep him in the Word, and that keeps me focused. And I can move on from there, you know. I mean, sure, the thought is in the back of my mind, but I'm so focused on him now so I don't even, you know, think about it. So it may be hard for some people to forgive themselves, but once I found out that God forgave me for everything I've done, he wiped my slate clean, then I could forgive myself. You know, I can do it for me. He did it for me. If he can do it for me, I can do it. And he's all that needs to do it for me, you know what I'm saying? So once he forgave me, then I felt free. I just felt free, and I didn't have anything hanging over my head, and I don't have any animosity against the man. As a matter of fact, he's my friend. I holler at him every now and then. I mean, sure, he did leave his wife, but I can't be with him because he's still married, and I don't wish to because I'm honoring God. God got me focused mm-hmm. on him. And if there is a man for me out there, God will send him to me. I just have faith in that.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. Shirley, you have any comments now? Shirley, you've been married four times?
Four times.
So you can speak on that.
Yeah, three husbands, four times. But before I speak on that, I just want to speak on the fact that I talk about in my book, Friend of Foe. And Mary, how you're talking about, you're still friends with him, but on a different, totally different level of friendship. You have no animosity or anything against him. And that is so another way of showing how you have developed and became healthy and want healthy relationships. And like you said, the bottom line, even though he left his wife, he's still married. And there's so many women, we find ourselves in situations and positions where if we've had a relationship and we've been married and everything, or especially if we had a relationship with a married man, that he's married, and then he's left his wife, so it's okay for me. In my situation, you know, with my four husband and everything, it was from domestic violence with the first one and cheating. And then the second one, it was drugs and cheating. And then the third one, it was just straight out cheating. And the last one, which was the second one, which I remarried, the relationships that he went through, it got to a point that he felt like he deserved to have the companionship of another woman as well. And he said, I love her, but I'm not in love with her. I'm in love with you, but I love her. Why can't I have you both?
Wow.
And so I said, no, you can't, you know. Now, I'm willing to fight for this marriage with you, but I will not fight you or her for this marriage.
Wow.
And so with that, you know, I told him, you know, you can call it an ultimatum or whatever. And I said, so now you have to make a decision, but you mm-hmm. can't have us both. So he chose, huh?
No, go ahead, Shirley.
No, so he chose the other woman. And it lasted about 6 months.
Wow.
Right. And then he wanted to say, I mean, when I say he chose the other woman, she even had him, or they discussed it, or I'm not sure how he came to this point, but within a couple months of choosing her, he filed for divorce from me. And mm-hmm. once the divorce was final, which only took about 90 days because our children were grown, then she put him out. And one thing that I see in relationships like that is that it doesn't last. Now, he told you he left his wife, you know, maybe he did, maybe he got put out. But they are still searching. I say that because I know my ex is still searching because he's gone through another relationship and he's still searching. It's like he's moving through life, but never putting any roots down.
Right.
That he's only on the surface, and once the wind blow too hard or a strong wind or rain come in, it washes whatever footing he has. So he floats down to the next person.
Well,
and
I just seem to think that, not cutting you off, that most men are out there searching. They don't want to put roots down. I'm not sure. I talk about how they don't want responsibility. You know, it's like they want to have a woman, but they don't want the responsibility of having one. And it's like it's not just financial either. It's just being in a relationship, being committed to somebody. I find that most men don't want that. They want women, a woman, but they don't want to commit to one. And, you know, even though he's out there in that relationship searching, it doesn't matter one way or another to me because I'm on a different level in my life. And, you know, just being his friend from afar is good enough for me because, you know, and he just says that he hoped that he gets to the place that I am where he finds God. And I told him, I'm praying that you do, you know, because it's a good place to be, you know. And it's like I've been married twice in my life, and my second marriage, I was not with my husband for like 8 years, and that's how I got into that relationship with him because we weren't together. You know, and then my first marriage, you know, I just divorced, you know, because there were some things going wrong in there. And my husband didn't necessarily cheat or anything. He was an excessive, jealous man that could have led to abuse. So when I saw that was my escape to get out of that because I didn't want to start getting abused later on. But it's just that, you know, when we allow ourselves to, you know, go through these things with these men, we have to put our foot down. I noticed since I became born again and I have set my values and my standards, and when I meet guys and I let them know where I'm at in my life, they either accept it or they don't. And if they don't, it's fine. I have no animosity against you, but this is where I'm at now, you know, and this is where I plan on being. No one's going to budge me out of that spot, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not selling for pleasure anymore. I'm not selling because I'm lonely. I'm not selling because I need money. I'm not selling for those things. I want to settle for what God says settle, and that's love. And when I get love, then I'll know.
Amen. What was the breaking point for you, Mary?
The breaking point, actually, what helped me was moving to Georgia. Because, see, he was supposed to come with me. That was the plans. And when I got ready to go, he didn't come at that time. He said he needed to take care of something. But I already knew in the back of my mind that this thing may not jump off anyway because I had some doubt about it, you know, because with me planning, it was 2 to 3 years up to planning to the move, and he was right there with me. Oh, I'm coming. I'm going to be there, you know, this, that, and the other. And when a move finally came, it didn't happen. So that was a cue right there. And then when I got up there, he said, it'd be coming later. Okay, when later came, I got another call saying I couldn't leave because of this reason. And then, you know, by that time, I had got saved, started focusing on God. And I was like, you know what, I can't do this no more. I say, you know what, I choose to honor God, so I'm going to drop this. And I just dropped it like that, and what helped me with it was the fact that I was up there and he was down here. So I didn't have to really see him or be around him, you know what I'm saying? So that helped me to focus. And with him being out of the picture, it was easier for me to get through it. Okay, of course he knew I came back, but when I came back, I was a whole different person, you know. I thank God directed my steps to move up there so I could focus on him, because if I would have stayed, I probably would still be in that relationship. I'm not going to lie about it. I probably would still have been in it. But God made my transition to move so easily. It was like everything fell right in place. I had just bought myself a new car, and I said, I'm not moving until I pay my car off. I paid that car off in 2 years, not knowing where that money was going to come from, but it all fell in place to do it. And it was just so easy. It was God actually directing my steps to get me in a place to focus on him. And once I started focusing on God, that was all she wrote. It was like, okay, I can't do this no more. And he was stunned behind it because he didn't, you know, we were at a place where we thought we loved each other so much, but then I started analyzing love because my thing is if you really love somebody, you're going to be where they at. That's how I see it. And when it wasn't happening like that, it kind of opened my eyes up to see, you know what, this ain't going to happen. So, you know, I kind of built myself up for it, for the disappointment, which I knew was coming anyway. So,
okay.
I got through it, you know.
So you started walking in the manifestation of the truth. Truth was revealed to you, and you got a chance to see it for what it really is. So that's what happens a lot of times when we step back and that thing we feel we can't do without. When opposition comes or reality sets in, it's like, hey, do I really need this? discover that, yes, we can breathe without them and we can go on without them, it makes the transition a lot easier and a lot better for us to walk through. And I say us because I'm a woman and we do go through situations in our lives that will find us in a place that we ordinarily wouldn't be in. And I'm glad that you were able to shift and move to another location, because a lot of times blessings are territorial. Where you are is where your breakthrough comes. A lot of times is you have to be in that assigned place. I talk about it in my book called Unlimited Possibilities, that once we get into our place of there, where our appointed place, then is when the manifestation of wealth and relationships, material things will all come in place because we're in our assigned spot, and you're a pure example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a good place to be. I don't regret it not one bit. I am forever thankful to God for, you know, taking the blinders off my eyes and for me to see, you know, and I couldn't thank him enough. I actually praise him every day for where I'm at today, because I was headed the wrong way. I was headed, you know, to a life of destruction, and he just turned that around for me, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Now, one thing you just said that was interesting, you said that you were blinded, that you couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
When you're in love with somebody, you don't see nothing wrong in them. You don't see any wrong they could do. All you see is them and the bliss. And other people on the outside might see it when you don't see it, because you're in love, and love just blinds you to a lot of things. My eyes weren't really just open to that relationship. It was open to life itself. It was open to honoring God, you know, because God, sure, I knew of him, but he wasn't a part of my life, and I wasn't living a godly life. So my thing is, he opens you up to so many other things, you know, and you start seeing the differences in what you really want in life, and you see the choices that you should make. And, you know, that love thing can hurt a lot of us because we don't see what others see. You know what I'm saying? Because we're like you say, it's like a picture on the frame. You can't see it if you're in the frame, you know. So you have to come out of that frame to kind of see where you're going and what you're looking at. And that's what happened with me. Once God took the blinders off my eyes and I was able to see, then I was like, okay, this is how this should go and not this way. So, you know, you have a choice then. You use that free will to do or don't, or right or wrong, you know. And I choose right. I choose to honor God. And, of course, when I moved back here, I had to talk to God about it and let him know that I wasn't happy. I didn't like where I was, and it wasn't working for me. So I wanted to come back home, but I actually talked to God about it, and I said, if it's in your will that I stay up here, you know, show me a sign. But God made that transition back here easy. And when I came back, I said, I just want you to know one thing. I'm a child of the Most High God now. I choose to honor you. I'm not going back to get back in, you know, where I was. And so when I came back, I think that kind of let people see where I was, because I have a lot of my friends saying, oh, I see the change in you, and I see the glow in you, and I'm grounded, and sure, and it's all because of him, you know what I'm saying? I can see him, and it doesn't bother me, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, and I'm sure I got tested when I got back, but then I passed the test, so it was all good. No, this is where I'm at now. I'm not there anymore. This is what I choose, you know. I choose God.
Let me ask you this. In the midst of that, and living, and you said you had your friends. Now, were your friends aware of the fact that you were dating someone that was married? And what was their response? What was their action? Or were those the type of friends that anything goes?
Oh, those are the type that anything goes. I mean, you know, some of them may not have liked it, but they wouldn't tell you to your face. You may hear the whispers behind, you know. And then you were around people who lived that lifestyle. So it wasn't like it was wrong, because everybody in the circle was doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said,
oh,
my book,
okay.
when you live as the world, you know, when you live in the world and you do as the world do, then you don't see the wrong. You know what I'm saying?
You don't see it. Oh, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, because I say right here, when you live in the world and do as the world does, you fail to recognize your sinful nature because everybody's sinning, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you recognize it, you tend to push it to the back of your mind, accepting the behavior as acceptable because the world is doing it. So nobody, it's just like adultery and fornication in the world today. A lot of people know that's wrong, but they do it because everybody else is doing it, you know what I'm saying? And it would take you to have a revelation to know, you know, that God gave you free will to know right from wrong. And some people know that and they still do wrong, you know. But I chose not to after I got saved because it was just that I wanted to honor God and for him to give his life for me, I needed to respect and honor him. So that's what I chose to do. And that's how I got where I'm at, and I just thank him for it every day.
Those of you that just joined in, I'm talking with Mary Robinson, and she has a new book release called From Disgrace to Grace, Honoring the Word of God. Mary, where can individuals purchase your book?
Well, my book is on several social websites. First of all, I have my own personal website, which is called mkbooks.com, and that's M-K-A-Y. Books.com is also on BarnesandNoble.com. It's on Amazon.com. It's on Goodreads.com. And you can also download it on ebooks out of iUniverse. And that's the publishing company that published my book.
Oh, excellent. And those of you that missed that and didn't get all the information about where you can find her book, just simply email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com, and I will connect you with Mary's website and how you can purchase her book and learn more about her. And if you want, you're doing a group and you want her to come and speak to your organization about this, she'll be available to do that as well. We're talking about From Disgrace to Grace, Honoring the Word of God. Now, you know, there's individuals that may be listening in right now, and they may say, well, you know, I'm in a relationship with someone, but he doesn't really love his wife. He's told me that they're just together because of the children, or he's just with her because of illness. You know, all these different excuses that they use, that individual, that man tells them about why they're still with their wife. What would you say to women like that, that are in situations like that and hearing those lies?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the children situation, because that was the reason mine happened. He said he was staying there for his kids, that him and his wife didn't have any dealings together. They were just in the house together, but he was there for his children. Now, when I met him, his children were 11 years old. He had some twins. And 10 years later, they're 21, but you're still here. Okay, they got grown children now. You don't even have to pay child support no more. So what's the reason now? And then the reason just kept going to other things, you know. So the thing is, that's just something to tell you to prolong you along the way. But I felt like there were no intentions to leave. I actually had to leave him for him to leave her. You know, I was gone.
I'm not to interrupt you, but let me point this out and something to the listeners that, you know, in the midst of the lies, you were willing to sacrifice the years.
Mm-hmm.
To wait.
I was willing.
You sacrificed
because I was believing what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was believing what he was saying, and I was like, you know, and he was convincing me that it was just for the kids, you know. And then after a while, I look around, it's 10 years later, the kids are 21, and you're still there. So my thing was like, okay, I'm going, you know, you're expecting them to come on out of there, but he was still there making the same excuses. The excuse went to the wife the next time. It was like, oh, I can't leave my wife stranded.
Oh, what you said.
You know.
I'm sorry, but you said, you know, this time went by, and now he's there. You expecting me to come on out of there now? What's up?
Yeah, you know, he's still there. They're 21. at 21 and you don't even have a babysitter, no child support, none of that. What's the excuse now? And then it went to the wife. It's like, you know, he told me that second time when he was supposed to come up for good, he said, oh, I can't come because, you know, my mom told me how I'm going to leave my family stranded and all this kind of stuff like that. And I was like, okay, you stay there and take care of your family because I can't do this no more. And that's when I ended the relationship. But you just have to know that, you know, if you're with somebody that long, I mean, don't even let it get to 10 years. The time flew on me, believe me. And I know friends that live with men that long without marrying them and have children from them. I mean, my goodness, you're doing everything a wife's doing. All you need is the papers. So if you can't get the papers, that shows me this man don't really love you. He just got him a trophy or something here that he plays with when he get ready or something like that. But, I mean, we shouldn't even allow ourselves to live with a man without marriage because, I mean, if you start that, what's the use in marrying you? You know what I'm saying? So my thing is don't listen to the lies because they're all lies. I mean, I either put them to the test and say, okay, you know, well, when are you planning to do this or whatever? But I have not known one marriage that people were in where the man just actually left his wife for another woman. Some do it, but then there's going to be trouble and all that, you know. So my thing was I never had trouble in my relationship with the wife. Actually, she never caught wind of him doing anything till maybe about the 9th year of us being in a relationship, and that's because she found his cell phone, and she saw this number in there that he said he didn't have my name there, but it's a number I guess she didn't recognize, so she called it. And it just so happened when she called it, he was at my house. And when she called the number, you know, I had him in my phone as my baby. And when my phone rang and I see my baby on it, I'm like, well, this can't be my baby because my baby right here. So he told me he couldn't find his phone. So I was like, your wife got it. That was the first thought came out of my mind. Your wife got it. Sure enough, she had it. She called it. But I didn't answer it because I'm not one to start drama. So I didn't answer that. I let it go to voicemail. Of course, she came over and let me know she was his wife and what am I doing messing with a married man and all this stuff like this. And I never responded to it. And the lady never heard my voice except for my voicemail. And so that's how it was because I would say, you keep your household straight and I keep mine straight because I wasn't with the drama in the relationship. That probably would have sent me out of it quicker. You know, but because I didn't have drama in it, I guess that's why it lasted so long. But it's just like you give that much of your life away to somebody and you get nothing back for it. And that's why I'm so confident where I'm at now. I refuse to do that anymore. I'm not letting nobody take that many years away from me and get nothing out of it. So that's why I don't mind, you know, being where I'm at. I'm real confident in where I'm at.
It's amazing you were able to get away with it for 9 years. That means that wife really trusted him and believed him to be who she thought he was.
Yeah, well, they let him tell her that they both were doing their thing. So maybe she didn't care because she was out there doing hers and he was doing his. However it went, it didn't cause no controversy in that relationship until that long, so. You know, I could have been one. There are many times I could have been one of those women who flared up and, you know, want to go do something or say something. But that's not me, so I never went through it, you know. But I've seen it done in other relationships, you know, where the wife, I got one friend now. The lady got to be 60-some years old, and she's been in a relationship with a married man like 40 years. And when she asked me about my friend, because she knew he was supposed to go to Georgia with me, I said, oh, we're no longer together, you know. I say, I got born again, and I dropped the relationship. And she says, oh, I pray to God and repent all the time to get out of this relationship. I'm like, well, if you've been repenting for 40 years and God ain't heard you, he don't really care. You know? 40 years is a long time to repent to God, and, you know, you ain't did nothing yet. So some people accept things, and then you say the wife know about it, and he knows about it, but they go through doing their little thing, you know. And see, I just couldn't live that way. I've always wanted my own, you know, and in my two relationships, if my husband's ever cheated, I think I probably was a cheater in the relationships. I never known them to do it. If they did, they got away with it because I never knew. But I'm just saying, you know, there are times when both parties know and they don't care. You do your thing, I do mine. We just come here to, for the sake of the kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a happy thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, this has definitely been an interesting show we've had tonight. My phone has been buzzing, and where I'm getting texts and messages and stuff like that. So it is definitely interesting to some people, and quite hilarious when you're outside looking in, because, like I said, we find ourselves in situations and wonder how in the world we got there and how we allow so much time to go through and to slip by us unaware.
Yeah. I mean, would I use the word unaware? Maybe you are unaware, but you're really aware of what you're doing. You're aware of what you're doing. It's just that you may be aware of the time, and you're not looking at the situation as being, what could I say, serious.
Toxic.
It's just like you're going, yeah, you know, you're just going through the process, and because this is where you're at now, and there are a lot of times that I wanted to do things on holidays, and I couldn't because they were with the family. I had to accept that. It was nothing I could do, you know. So it's like those things where I think you should know you deserve better. You deserve to have someone with you on Christmas, on Mother's Day, on Valentine's Day. You deserve that. So you got to miss all that. And like Millie Jackson used to say way back when, that she couldn't see her man on New Year's, but New Year's Eve, when you want to bring it in, she said, but J1, he was there. I mean, when New Year's Eve is over, it's a whole New Year now. He's starting his mess all over again, right?
Yeah,
so,
Billy was off the chain back in the day.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. So, you know, it's what we settle for. And we need to know that, like Steve Harvey says, he says, we have the key to getting anything we want out of a man, but we have to use it in the proper aspect. You know, we can't be just giving in. If you say give them something, you know, you don't just give in. You know, make them work for it. You know, so.
I have this one person that, I mean, she's thrilled with death, and she gets off by saying that she's somebody's life partner. I said, you know what? The bottom line is what you're saying, and that person saying life partner, you saying it, but they're not saying anything, is because of the simple fact that you're saying they intend to date you for life with no intentions of marrying you.
I know that.
You just said. So I'm like, are you sure you want that? You want to be introduced as that? Because that doesn't sound good to me.
No, it doesn't. And I think every woman wants a husband every now and then. You know what I'm saying? I think every woman wants one. But you can't get it if you can't get him if he already belongs to somebody else. Let's just get that straight first, you know. Because no matter what he tells you, it ain't as easy to get out of it, you know. Like Johnny Taylor said, cheaper to keep it, there are going to be consequences trying to get out of there, especially if you have small children. And then you can't bank on that, because even if they stay to the trigger, get grown, they may still be there. You know, oh, they got to go to college now, so you can't leave then either.
Right.
So you're better off just trying to get your own so you can be in the place where a wife is, you know.
Not just a part-time husband. We only have about 5 minutes left, so I wanted to be able to take a couple of callers that are calling in right now. So if you hold the line, I'm talking to Mary Robinson. She wrote a book, From Disgrace to Grace, and If you want information about how to get that, you can check out her website. What's your website, Mary?
That was mkbooks.com, mkay.com, amazon.com, barnesandnobles.com. You can go on either one of those sites and you'll be able to get my book.
Okay, and as always, you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to get you Mary's information. Caller holding 2077, are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, you're live.
Hi. I'm Angela Lofton, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm a friend of Mary Robinson,
mm-hmm.
and I have got on to listen, and I really appreciate your radio station. I really appreciate my sister that wrote the book. I'm so proud of her. We became friends when she moved to Georgia, and we just clicked like sisters. I love her dearly. But what I wanted to say is I think this is so beautiful that we can, God shows us, because even with me, I'm a Christian. I've been through a lot. We talk all the time. Now, for me, I'm a single woman, been single. I am 50 years old, and I'm a very nice, I think I'm a very beautiful woman. But I've been through the same thing I hear y'all say on the phone, which many other women, we find love in all the wrong places because of where we've been in our lives, how we grew up, how our father wasn't in the home to teach us how to love us and have and give us respect for a man to treat you right. So we're trying to find all the hurts into a man because we are, you know, single. I tell Mary all the time, I said, Mary, you know, I said, for me to be celibate and got the ring on my finger from, you know, my church, Divine Faith, our pastor, Battles, he had gave us a couple of women, you know, like we had a Valentine, and all the women that were that wanted a husband and wanted to be celibate, we had to go and do a vow. And I did it. For so long, the ring's still on my finger. But it got to the place where even when I date or I meet somebody, you know, and they see this ring on my finger, I said, well, this is a ring of, I said, the only way this ring will come off if you replace it because it's a celibate ring. As soon as I said that, they looked at me like, oh, that's it, you know, because all they're looking for is a good thing.
A bim bam, thank you, ma'am.
It's never going to happen here. And the sad part about it is that we good women suffer, but the women that I see in the street that don't, they can get a man to give them a pack of cigarettes and a pack of Pampers and a beer, and they over there. And me, I tell a man in a minute, I have morals. I said a man cannot come in my house and lay up in my house, sleep in my house. I want to be respected. If you want to date me, you need to pick me up. And when we go out, you can meet me at my door. If you want to come in, it's a certain time you got to leave. They think I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up the show. We're closing up. And I really thank you for your comments and invite you to join us next week on another Hot Topics from the Soul.
Sounds beautiful.
And next week, you can join in and see what I get, because as I said, Hot Topics from the Soul covers social issues, relationships, family, finances. So I thank you so much for tuning in. And I invite you to visit the website www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. You'll be able to find information about the show. And also, you can replay the show Blog Talk by visiting www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And also, I can be reached at 954-724-0900. And be sure to purchase Unlimited Possibilities Walking in Purpose, that will be available on Amazon and also on the Soul of a Woman website. Good night, and thank you so much for joining us, Mary Robinson, author of From Disgrace to Grace, and my co-host Shirley Carter. It's always great. Can't wait to see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. Good night.